Hello and welcome to Fight Picks with the Pros. My name is Garrett Marchesano, and today we're going to review five fights from the upcoming UFC Fight Night featuring Derek Brunson versus Darren the Gorilla Till in the main event. Today I'm joined by, as always, my co-host, former Ultimate Fighter Season 18
Get it right.
Champion, Chris Holds It Down Holdsworth.
What's up?
Let's go.
Introducing Fight Picks with the Pros, brought to you by FanDuel.
First fight we have up is we got Patty the Baddie Pinlet versus Luigi the Italian Stallion.
Vermini?
Vermini. Going as a plus 122 dog. So this is an interesting fight. Patty Pimlet got a few fights canceled coming into the UFC. This will be his kind of debut in the new promotion in the UFC. He's coming over from Cage Warriors. He's 16-3, well-rounded, 5 TKOs, 7 subs, coming off a few straight wins. And this is his debut. And what's really a big buildup for this before we get into his opponent is he's one of those guys, you know, we talked about Chikadze and how he needs to just ride with his swag and call people out and really demand it. You know, we see those type of guys, they get their way, they get their pull in the UFC because they're pulling social media views and numbers and people want to see them fight. Patty has that same swag about him. He's got this unwavering confidence. He's got this funny accent. He's got this funny haircut. And he just loves to fight. Cage Warriors champ. And so he has that swag you like to see, you know. And I know Dana and Sean Shelby, they were just drooling to get him into the UFC. And they're just hoping he can string together some wins. Because this is the type of guy that could headline fight nights and sell cards. And he's gonna do extremely well in the build-up and the press conferences. Because he's got some swag, confidence, and he's a funny guy. So what are your initial thoughts on Patty Pimlet?
Yeah, the UFC loves people like from other countries that they can kind of put a face on and build up that, you know, nation's audience and stuff. Like the UK in the beginning, it was Bisping, you know. Now, you know, it's kind of Till, the UK, but, you know, now it's always good to have another one. And he's been on the UFC's radar for a while, you know, 16-3, 5 TKOs and 7 subs. So he's well-rounded. He can finish you, you know, with submissions or he can finish you on the feet. You know, and he's been a champ in the UK's promotion, Cage Warriors, which is a, you know, a great promotion. I want to see him fight some UFC level guys now. And he's facing Luigi, a guy who's trained with the team before. And Luigi's a good kickboxer. He hits really hard. I hope Luigi's ground game got a little bit better because I remember when it was here, it wasn't the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know he's working. It looks like he's training at Factory X now. Out there with what's the coach's name? Mark Montoya and those guys. Nice. So we'll see. It looks like he suffered a knee injury in 2018 and the first surgery went wrong. So maybe that's I was wondering why I haven't seen him in a fight in a while. So I think he's just coming off a knee surgery. So this is a big test for him, man. You know, if coming off a knee surgery, coming back and fighting Patty the Baddie.
Yeah, I agree. And I like this matchup, you know. Again, we're always thinking these matchups were made by Sean Shelby, Dana White, and the powers to be over at the UFC, right? And I like this. Patty coming in. He's a Cage Warriors champ. He's coming in, you know, featherweight fighter. You don't you want to build up your fighters. Again, the UFC claims they're always about the best fighting the best, but this is well-rounded. You don't really know a fighter's skill set until they come into the UFC, and that's where really the top talent is. I know he's fighting at Cage Warriors, but you know none of those guys are in the UFC or the biggest promotion for a reason because they're trying to build themselves up. And for Luigi, you know, he was 8-0 prospect coming in the UFC, and now he's 1-2. That just shows you the jump in talent that he had to make that was tough for him. Now he's trying to get back on track and show that he could really be a contender in the UFC. Now you got Patty coming in trying to prove himself as well. So these odds aren't too in favor of Patty. He is the favorite coming into this fight, but I like it. I think it's an even matchup. Both these guys are fighting for something. If Luigi racks up a third loss in the UFC, he may get cut, so he might be fighting for a contract. And Patty is trying to show the whole world who he is. He's going to, for the first time, you know, get millions of views on his fight. He's not used to that at Cage Warriors. So he can build himself into being a star if he gets this win. So that's the breakdown. Let's get to official fight prediction. Chris, I'll lead it off myself. I'm going for Patty, the Big Pimpin' Pimlet. Or what's his nickname?
Patty the Baddie.
Patty the Baddie. I'm
going. He said Big Pimpin.
Patty, the baddie, Pimlet, -150 favorite. I'm going Patty. I think he finds a way to get it done. I think he's going to be a little surprised by Luigi's game, and he's going to play it a little safer. I think it's going to go to decision. So I got Patty by decision. Chris, what you got?
Yeah, the UFC matchmakers know what they're doing. They see Patty coming up. They're trying to, like, probably make him grow and give him some favorable matchups. Luigi hasn't been doing it as well in the UFC, 1-2 coming in, and I think Patty finds a way to get it to the ground and get a sub. I think he's going to sub Luigi.
Okay, yeah. I can see that happening too. That's a good call. All right, let's get on to the next fight. We got Alex, the great white, Morono, coming in as the -154 favorite. Is that racist or no? The next one, we got David Saget Zawada. It's kind of a +126 dog. So this is an interesting fight because we got Alex Morono coming in at 19-7, 6 TKO, 6 sub. So, he has some losses on his record, but I've been super impressed with him the last couple times out. Especially I picked against him in that Donald Cerrone fight, and he just came out and just looked like a dog and has great striking.
Yeah.
And just put the pressure on Donald and came forward and got that TKO finish, which was super impressive. He's the type of guy that, wins one, loses one, wins one, and he's got all the talent. He's a great fighter. He surprises me a lot every time I see him in that octagon. He's fighting David Zawada, who's 17-6, 11 TKOs, 4 subs. And just like we were talking about earlier, he was really a great prospect outside the promotion. He came in the UFC, and he's now 1-3 in the UFC. So it's been a little bit of a tougher fight time for him in the bigger promotion. I've been really high on Alex. I get to see him as a coach. He's actually a coach to Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky Tursos.
So that was really cool to see. And he's always just gives so much credit to his fighters and his camp. And even after he won his fight, he was just calling out his other fighters that he coaches and his camp and all the credit to them. So just a, stand-up guy, great fighter. So this is a tough one. I think they're both kind of in the same boat. What pops out at you for this matchup, Chris?
Yeah, I like Alex on this one. He's proven to me that you can't count him out. Like, I've always picked against him, and he always proves me wrong. And I told myself, I was like, all right, I got to start going with Moreno. He's proven me he not only has the striking to back it up, he's got the submission game. He's a black belt himself. He just gave Ricky his black belt.
Yeah, that was cool.
When Ricky won this last tough 29. But, David having the nickname Sagat, I don't think it's Sagat. It's Sagat.
I know, it's Sagat.
It's the Street Fighter. The kickboxer.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure that's where he's getting it from. So, having 11 TKOs, this guy is probably they're going to be the favorite striker. Coming in, averages 2.2 subs to Morano's 57% takedown defense.
Ooh, so yeah, maybe takes him down.
Yeah. And then David's got the 3-inch reach advantage too. So I think the striking advantage would be for David, and if Alex, mixes it up, takes him down, uses his grappling, I think that's where he's going to, shine the most. So I think Alex Moreno needs to take this fight, make it a grappling match, take his striking out of the game and, win a fight on the mat.
Yeah, another thing to note is that Alex took this on short notice.
Oh, dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was Zawada was the favorite against another fighter that fell out. And now Alex, and one thing to note with Alex, because you may say, oh, he's jumping in on 2 weeks' notice, doesn't have a camp. Alex said when he jumped in to fight the Donald Cerrone fight, too, on shorter notice. And he says that he always trains to stay ready to fight. And whenever a fight drops out, he's the one messaging Sean, so I'm ready to jump in. He's messaging the promotion, ready to jump in on short notice because he knows he's ready to fight.
Yeah.
So he's not, coming off the couch and saying, oh, I'll take that fight. He's training. He's ready. He said, hey, MMA is a lifestyle for me. He's like, I do this every day. I have my team. He's like, I'm never not ready to take a fight. So don't count me out because I'm coming in on short notice. And I noted that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Some guys maybe when they're out of camp, maybe gain a little extra weight, and maybe they're not in the gym as much. And, I see the other guys. We're here at Team Alpha Male. I see the guys that are here no matter what. They're in here day in, day out. It's a lifestyle for them.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not going to take it as him coming in a short notice, taking out his chances in this fight. So I'm going to jump in and give my official fight pick. I'm going with Alex the Great White Morono on this one. I think he's going to outstrike him on the feet. I think they're going to – the strikes are going to add up. And I can even see him finishing him via TKO. So I'm going Alex the Great White Morono by TKO.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going with Alex Morono too. Like I said before, I counted him out in the past and picked against him. I'm going for Alex Morono. I like his style. He comes and gets in your face. He puts the pressure on you. He'll pin you against the cage. He'll get the takedowns, and he's got the submission game. So I got Alex Morono. If he does, I think he's going to get this. No. He'll get the decision. I think he'll get the decision on this one.
That's a good call, too. All right, let's move on to the next fight. We've got – this is a heavyweight bout. We've got Tom Aspinall, UK guy, coming in as a minus 290 favorite, one of the biggest favorites on the card, versus Sergey Spivak, coming as a plus 225 underdog. So they were supposed to face each other in 2020. Spivak dropped out. They were able to rebook the fight. Tom Aspinall is a huge prospect in the heavyweight division. Michael Bisping thinks he's the future of the heavyweight division and can be a champion by the end of next year. We know we got that kind of round robin of Stipe, John Jones, and Ngannou in those top three, and Ciryl Gane. Can't forget to mention him. So those four guys are going to kind of play on the merry-go-round for the next 12 months, and then another heavyweight will have a chance at that belt or at that interim belt. And he beat Andre Arlovski in his last fight. He's on six straight wins in the UFC, and he's got a great overall game. He's fighting Sergey on the other side, who's coming out of Eagles MMA. We know that's the same camp, right, that Khabib fights out of and his dad created. So this is a big matchup because Sergey is also 13-2, 5 TKOs and 6 subs. Well-rounded guy, good record, 3 straight wins, 2-4 in the UFC. So this is an interesting matchup. What's your first impressions on this fight, Chris?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Aspinall. I like his style. You know, Team Kaboom, they're a great team out there in the UK. If I'm not mistaken, that's Bisping's old team.
Oh, really?
But okay. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But, dude, this guy's on a streak. He beat Arlovski. I remember I was going for Arlovski on
that one. Yeah, so was I. I remember
and he
we
impressed me in that fight with his striking. I feel like he rocks guys with his power. He's got a lot of TKO finishes, 8 TKOs and 2 subs. And a lot of them are in the first round in under 5 minutes. So that just tells you 9 of his 10 wins are in the first round.
Yes.
5 under 1 minute and 4 under 2 minutes. So that just tells you the power that he has, if Bisping thinks he can be champion, a former champ, he's probably seeing something.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely got a lot of potential. So I got my eye on Tom Aspinall. I think he can do big things in the heavyweight division. But he's fighting Sergey, a guy coming out of Khabib's team. The legendary team out of Dagestan. I've been all hung up on Khabib and his team. Been watching a lot of his dad's seminars and stuff. Like, man, his dad is like a wizard. Listening to all the stuff's in Russian, but listening to the subtitles, just hearing the details and the things, and I see how his game is really it's judo black belt.
Yeah.
Sambo, and he wrestled.
Yeah.
So he mixes all that up into the mixed martial arts game, and I think that's what Khabib is.
That's
so
what
good.
Made Khabib.
Yeah, it made him into a grappling monster.
Yeah.
All the judo base, the trips, the hips, and then you have the sambo with all the submissions and all that stuff, and then when you have the wrestling on top of it.
So
I'm always hesitant to bet against the Eagles MMA guys
because
man, those Russian and Dagestanis are they're all no joke and 13-2, a great record.
Yeah, this isn't a setup fight. This is this is a big fight.
Yeah,
this is close.
Yeah, but I'm gonna have to go with Tom Aspinall on this one. I think just from what I've seen in the past with his fights, the power, I think he's gonna find Sergey's chin and finish him early.
Yeah, it's hard to go. That's the big call. It's hard to go against all these early first round finishes. Keep in mind, some of these were outside the UFC, fighting lesser talent in his previous promotion. he still has three straight wins in the UFC. It's a little harder to finish guys in this promotion, but I think he has a chance to do it. I like that prop bet of an early finish from Tom Aspinall. I also like, since he is one of the biggest favorites on the card, someone taking a flyer on Sergey, getting a submission or getting a decision win.
Yeah, maybe. I can see that too. Sergey getting the takedowns, you know?
And controlling him on the ground. Yeah, and then Tom can't get up.
Exactly.
And that's that, you know, control the hips on the ground. I can see him doing it like all those Dagestan guys do. Like Islam is another guy who just can, once he takes you down, you're down for the rest of the round.
Yeah,
I can see that as a possibility too. But let's jump into official fight picks. I'm going Tom Aspinall. I'm going Tom Aspinall by first round KO.
Yeah, I said the same. He's going to find that chin early and get a KO or TKO finish.
Okay, I like that pick. All right, next, let's go over an early prediction. And now we've covered this fight before. It's a fun one to talk about, but it's approaching closer, so we're going to bring it up again. We got Justin the Highlight Gaethje coming in as a minus 174 favorite at this time versus Michael Iron Chandler coming in as a plus 146 underdog. So this is a fight everyone's been calling out for a long time, ever since Michael Chandler came into the UFC, because they have kind of a similar body type and similar fighting style. They're both kind of wrestlers with strong striking.
Yeah.
And so people want to see them, you know, go up against each other. They're both going to fight for that top contender spot again. Michael Chandler, of course, got his chance at the belt. TKO loss against Charles Oliveira. Now it pushed him back, you know, in the rankings a little bit, and he wants to get right back up there, right? He's number four. Gaethje's number two. This gives Michael a chance to jump right up into the number two contender spot. And now, of course, he knows he's gonna would have to wait. It's really the winner of this fight could possibly wait for the winner of Dustin versus Charles Oliveira, and then that's gonna be the next fight for the belt, in my opinion. So this is a big one. We'll start with Justin Gaethje, 22-3, 19 TKOs. We know he's a killer be killed, and he's got knockout power. He always says, I'm trying to cause car crashes in there. So he not afraid to jump in the pocket and start swinging haymakers, and he's got a nasty right hook that puts any guy out, especially at his weight class. And like I said, he'll take one to give one. So he's kind of the guy that you love to watch. You can't put this guy not on a main event, a co-main, because – he is just the human highlight reel. He's got that nickname for a reason. Then you got Michael Chandler on the other side, 22-6, 10 TKOs, 7 subs. And we all know he came into the UFC, had that great left hook knockout on Dan Hooker, and then he lost via left hook TKO against Charles Oliveira. He always brings the fight. He's ripped, strong guy, great wrestling, similar styles. So again, Chris, I'll throw it back on you. What pops out at you when you see Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler?
You know, I see, Justin Gaethje, the heavy hitter that he is, that, you know, was formerly a wrestler that doesn't really wrestle, right? He'll have some defensive wrestling if he needs to, but for the most part, 19 TKOs, like you say, he's trying to knock your block off and make you feel like you've been in a car wreck. And then you got Michael Chandler, who came into the mixed martial arts as a wrestler, a great wrestler, but now he's been more of a striker, like he likes to strike and knock people out. But I think when Michael Chandler gets tested on the feet, he's going to go back to his wrestling game, and he's going to go back to trying to take people down. So the main thing that jumps out at me at this fight is I want to see Michael Chandler go back to his wrestling game. I don't want to really see him go toe-to-toe with Justin Gaethje, because I think Justin's going to find this chin. Even though I believe in Chandler's striking, I think Justin has a little bit better striking.
Yeah.
Okay, I think he can find him and just find his chin. So I want to see Michael Chandler mix things up, use his wrestling to take Justin down, or at least try to mix things up. And I want to see Justin's takedown defense. I want to see where he's at in that department and see if he can stop Chandler's takedowns. Justin needs to use his angles, you know, keep Michael Chandler at his bay, you know, training with Trevor Whitman. His boxing and his footwork is looking better and better. And he's always able to find those angles and connect with some hard shots. So let's see what Michael Chandler comes out and does. Can he mix it up and use his wrestling like he used to? Like, we've primarily seen a striking Michael Chandler
in his
previous fights. He's been knocking people out. But I don't think he's going to come out here and knock Justin Gaethje out.
Yeah, and the thing is, Michael Chandler predicted that he's going to knock out Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje predicted that he's going to knock out Michael Chandler.
Of course.
So they're both kind of... I hope their coaches are talking to them, because there's going to be some ego inside that ring. They're both going to start standing and striking, and they want to prove to each other who's the better striker, knock each other out. my opinion is what guy is going to go to the wrestling first. And it's got to be part of the game plan. They both can strike. Are they going to stand toe-to-toe and strike it out? Or who's going to shoot first? You know, who's going to be a dusty bitch and go for that, go for that double leg first? I think Justin has too much pride in his striking, and he doesn't use his wrestling enough. I think Michael Chandler is going to shoot first and go for that takedown. And then, so in your opinion, Chris, they both have this epic wrestling background and some of the top MMA wrestling in the promotion. Who should utilize their wrestling more? Who should lean on it and have it in, part of their game plan? So if you were to push a game plan for each guy, you know, with their wrestling involved, what would that look like?
Well, it's going to be Michael Chandler. I think he needs to go out there and confuse Justin Gaethje, make him think that he's coming out and striking with him, get him into a couple exchanges, and, you know, start timing those takedowns. And then see, you know, maybe if the first ones don't work, or maybe you do get a takedown and Justin works back up to his feet right away. Now Justin's going to be thinking, oh, shit. He's not just coming out here and try to strike. I got to worry about him shooting in and scoring off these takedowns. I think that should be Michael Chandler's game plan going into this. Confuse him. Make Justin think that you're going to get into these exchanges, because we all know Justin will throw.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get into these striking exchanges with you.
Start throwing.
So make him think. Get Justin planning on the feet to where he's going to be most vulnerable to get taken down. And then, you know, Chandler does what he does best. Is ground and pound and wrestle people.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like Michael Chandler definitely has a gas tank on him. You know, this is a 5-round matchup. Justin Gaethje, he gasses himself out sometimes because he's just throwing. I mean, he has the heart of a champion. So even when he's tired, you know, he sucks it up and takes that deep breath and throws a haymaker. That's what we all love about Justin Gaethje, is that he's, even when his back's against the fence. I mean, that Dustin Poirier fight was one of the most epic fights I've ever seen. And every time you thought Justin Gaethje was about to be put away, he'd throw, you know, three haymakers in a row and land one of them and make it a fight again. So it's going to be epic. This is a great matchup. This matchup has been on the MMA community's radar ever since Michael Chandler came in the promotion for a reason, because it's going to be a barn burner. And both of these guys don't, you know, they want to prove something. So I'm hoping Gaethje utilizes his wrestling a little bit too. I know he's not going to, you know. I know he's going to go out there to take his head off and stay striking. But he's also going to negate those takedowns, which is going to, you know, probably he's got good hips. He can sprawl it out and make it a fun fight. So it's hard to predict, you know, because they both have good striking. Both are such similar guys. You know, I'm sure in the video game that both these guys' stat lines are like super similar, because there's similar background, similar skill set. So at the end of the day, how do you see this fight playing out, Chris?
You know, I think Justin Gaethje is going to be able to outstrike Chandler and stop his takedowns. But then I could see it going the opposite way, too. Like Chandler, you know, sneaking some takedowns, some ground and pound, making Justin work up, and then edging out a decision. So I'm going to go Justin Gaethje, you know, third round TKO.
Okay, I like that call, but I'm going to go with Michael Chandler. Similar thing. I think they're going to be brawling, and I think this is like a kill or be killed for both guys. They both don't want to go to decision. It's such a long fight. I can't see five-minute rounds without one of these guys getting the finish. So I'm going Michael Chandler by third round TKO.
Oh, totally opposite.
So that'll be my fight pick. All right, he's going Gaethje third round. I'm going Michael Chandler. It's time for the main fight pick of the evening. All right. Let's jump into that pick now. For the main event, we've got Derek Brunson coming in as a plus 138 dog against Darren the Gorilla Till as a minus 170 favorite. So we all know Darren Till had a pull out of the Vettori fight back in April with a broken collarbone. Since then, he's been on the path to recovery. He's ready to go now. And so this is the main event coming up this weekend on Saturday. So Derek Brunson on this side, we'll start with him first. 22-7, 12 TKOs, 3 subs. He's got 4 straight wins on his record. And what I've seen from him watching his last couple fights, sometimes he gets over aggressive, and he makes mistakes, or he leaves himself open. He gets taken down. I feel like he rushes the fight a lot. What I've seen a lot in his last fights is him being composed, sticking to the game plan. I love with Kevin Holland how he was having a little bit of success on the feet, but then he was also getting pinged up a little bit by Kevin Holland. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to take him. I'm going to take him down after every exchange. So as soon as Kevin Holland threw more than one punch, he could jab and stay away. As soon as Kevin Holland threw a jab and a straight, Brunson would just take him down every time, right? So it's going to be a tough matchup because Darren Till is coming in with that crispy striking, 18-3. He has something to prove, you know, coming back. He's been through some tribulations, getting starched by Jorge Masvidal, some tough fights, you know, and he's the type of guy, he's not trying to just fight in the UFC. He wants to be a middleweight or welterweight champion right now at middleweight, right? So it's a tough, you know, is this the Darren Till of old? How's he's had some mental health issues as well, staying on track. So this is an interesting fight to break down. Chris, starting with Derek Brunson, you know, what do you see coming into this one?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Brunson, especially after that, you know, fight with Holland and just, you know, the big buzz on Holland. And then he just completely out-wrestled Holland against the cage, kept taking him down over and over again. Yeah, people underestimate Derek Brunson. He's been fighting the, you know, tough guys in that division for a long time. You know, he's fought Romero, he's fought Whitaker, he's fought Anderson Silva, Ronaldo Jacare, he's fought Izzy. I think
those are all his only losses in the UFC.
At all the dudes. Like, he lost to all the best guys in the division.
Yeah.
So that just tells you he beats all the guys under those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, Darren Till is a good fighter. He's got good crisp striking, but I don't think his striking is going to be so good that it's going to outstrike Darren Brunson, because Brunson's striking is good too.
Yeah.
So Brunson's going to be able to hold his own on the feet, and he's gonna take Darren down. He's gonna take Darren down, and he's gonna be able to work his ground and pound. And if Darren doesn't break from the ground and pound and the takedown pressure, it will go to decision with Brunson winning. But if Darren Till breaks from the pressure from the ground and pound, I can see Derek Brunson winning via TKO.
Ooh, yeah, that's gonna be interesting. You know, on Darren Till's side, you know what he's coming in to do. He's coming in to strike with you, keep it standing. Yeah. And he has an interesting stance where he holds his left hand like almost by his hip, you know, and then he has his right hand out in front.
Stop a little bit those of like takedowns.
So that's what I was just going to say. He's right there to negate those takedowns, right, with having that different stance. And because he has a little bit of a sideways stance, that might be a little awkward too. So it'll be interesting to see what he does if he's able to negate the takedowns. If I was in Derek Brunson's camp, the way he was just pulling those single legs and double legs at will against Kevin Holland. Now, keep in mind, I know Kevin Holland is having some wrestling problems and couldn't stop the takedowns in his last couple fights.
Yeah.
So we understand how that was a game plan coming in. But for Derek, don't just make it a striking battle. At least feint those takedowns, attempt it, even if it gets stuffed, to get Till thinking.
Yeah.
And put Till on the ground a couple times, wear him out, and the striking's not going to be there as much. Now, on the other side, of course, Darren Till is looking to get that KO win. 10 TKOs on his record. He wants to make a statement. He believes he should be up there with, you know, in the championship talk and the top contenders talk. And he wants to fight Izzy Adesanya. That's one of his big goals in the UFC. Izzy expressed the same thing. He said, I'd love to fight Darren Till. I think it's a fun matchup, a great striking battle. So they both want to fight each other, but Till needs to build himself up. He's number 7 in the division right now, middleweight. You know, you can't jump him up to a title bout. I think he needs to be at least top 3. And this gives him a chance against Derek Brunson, who's currently number 5. So maybe this will help him swap spots with Brunson and be a step closer. It's going to be sad if Darren does lose. You know, he's big in the MMA community, the MMA fans. They rally around him. He's super funny on social media. And he's got a really big cult following, if you will. So for Darren, you know, my thought is that he needs to negate those takedowns, keep it standing, outstrike him, and look for his openings to get the big shot off. So what is your thought on Darren Till? What does he have to do to get this W in this fight?
He's got to keep that distance with the footwork. He can't let Derek Brunson close the distance, pin him against the cage, and work his wrestling and grappling. He needs to keep the footwork, down south side, get his angles as Derek tries to come forward, and work his pop shots.
Yeah.
I don't think he should leg kick too much, because, you know, that gives him opportunities to be off balance and get taken down. So he needs to work the footwork and, you know, time Derek coming in with his shots. I think that's his best bet. And then on the Derek Brunson side, he needs to find his way in. Like I said before, I don't think Darren Till is just going to outstrike Brunson crazy like maybe he's done before. Brunson's striking is good. He's impressed me time and time again. And he's fought the best guys in the division. There's nothing he hasn't seen. You know what I mean? He's seen what all the best guys have to offer. So I think Derek Brunson's going to press Darren Till forward. Darren Till's going to try to probably play the counter game because he's going to be heavy on that back foot because he doesn't want to get taken down.
Yeah.
And Derek's going to find and press against the cage and end up getting these takedowns. And like I said, if Darren's able to have good conditioning and not get overwhelmed on the grappling, it'll be Derek Brunson by decision. If not, I think Derek Brunson's going to find those holes in the grappling department and end up finding his shots and win by ground and pound TKO.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great breakdown. So getting into our official picks, you know, Darren Till is a pretty heavy favorite at minus 170. But I'll lead first on this one, Chris. I got to go with my gut and this fight win streak. I'm going Derek Brunson on this one. I think there'll be some exchanges where you get a little scared where Darren is going to land some heavy shots. But I think Brunson will go to his game plan and start going for the takedown attempts. I think he's going to win some scrambles. I think he's really underestimated on his strength and his grappling against the cage. He's strong and he likes to strike out of the clinch. And I know Darren Till has great elbows out of the clinch and on the inside too, so it's something to look out for. But I'm hoping Brunson, I think he's going to start mixing it up just like he did with Holland, and I think he's going to get some takedowns, and it's going to frustrate the heck out of Till. He's going to have to start watching those takedowns, and it's going to open him up to get hit on that big bull rush that Derek Brunson does. He kind of runs at you throwing lefts and rights. So my gut's telling me Derek Brunson, and I'm going to go Brunson by decision. I think he gets close to finishing Till on multiple occasions, but ends up getting the decision win. Chris, who you got?
Nice. Yeah, I already said who I have, but my official decision is Derek Brunson. He's going to overwhelm Darren Till with his MMA grappling. He's going to walk him down with his shots. He's going to press him against the cage, and he's going to wear him out with his takedowns. He's going to look for some ground and pound to get the TKO finish, and if Darren Till wants to find a way out, he's going to find a way out. But if he sticks in there and he's able to defend and get back to his feet, he's going to lose a decision to Derek Brunson.
All right, so we're both going Derek Brunson, the underdog, by decision.
Lizard.
Wow, I like it. All right, that'll wrap it up. Should we hit a parlay this week? Yeah, let's parlay it together. Let's pick three fights that we like. Let's just go money line on this one. I like the odds, so let's do Derek Brunson. Okay, let's go up. No early predictions. Scroll past this one. Let's go Tom Aspinall.
Okay, I got Aspinall.
Okay, Brunson, Aspinall. Ooh, this is a close one.
I got
one.
Moreno.
Yeah, let's go Moreno. Okay, those are the three. Alex Moreno, Tom Aspinall, Derek Brunson. That's our three-fight money line parlay.
Let's go.
Ride with us, guys. It's going to hit. All right, guys, that'll do it. That'll wrap it up for Fight Picks with the Pros, brought to you by FanDuel. Please don't forget to like this video. Subscribe to our channel if you want to see more. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Hello, everyone. Bruce Buffer here. Thank you for watching the MMA Surge YouTube channel. We hope you enjoyed this video. Don't forget to subscribe and get notified when we upload next.